Yeah. Uh-huh. We're live. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A.
Where's that?
A mile above sea level. That's at their, you know, corner of Trashview and Atavista. We are altering your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees.
You got a warming device in your pocket?
Or are you just happy to see me, keeping a sin flood of statism out of your head? Can you feel
that
it,
on
Michael?
Radio? Yeah, I feel it. I quite well feel it. I'm going to talk about chairs today. Chairs and why they're important. Yep. Okay. So what's up?
Make sure you know what you lead with.
Bipcot. We're covered by the Bipcot
the
no government
is
license.
Covered by
what does this allow?
Reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Yeah. Governments are square, man. You really are. So what was this? We're going to talk about mass hysteria, and then we're going to talk about the Wyoming Bitcoin bill and why it has taken 10 years to get Wyoming like the rest of the states, most of the rest of the states except your state and New York with regard to, you know, the future.
Coinbase.
Yeah, like the ranchislators want to stop the flow. Well, here's the thing. So mass hysteria. What is mass hysteria? You have any experiences with it?
You know, it's like the first I've actually thought about it since the pre-show when we were bringing it up. And I think that the mass hysteria that I was caught up in was that for some reason, governments were a good thing. And everyone around me was all like nodding their head saying, yep, governments are a great thing.
That is it. That is a mass hysteria. So, yeah.
Oh, that voting was accurately counted and that it actually produces results that are tangible and desirable, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, even a stop clock is right once a couple of years. So my experiences with mass hysteria, well, you know, growing up on the planet Earth, there's a lot of it, I'd say. And especially in upstate New York, in the Rust Belt during the Cold War. Now, this is back when in the Rust Belt when, like, things were good. You know, other than the fact that we could have been blown up at any second. But they're trying that again now, and I don't think it could happen. But back then, it probably could happen. I don't know. There's just too many fail-safe. I don't know. I guess I'm trusting government here a lot. But I'm assuming that there's too many things that would, like, shoot a missile out of the sky into the ocean before it would get here. Whereas in the 70s, you know, it was like some guy fresh out of high school in front of a really old-school monochromatic radar thing going, beep, beep. You know, and they, you know, they scramble jets for a flock of geese because it looked the same on radar, that kind of thing. But so I grew up in Jamestown, New York, Westfield, New York, Chautauqua, New York, with Phil Warmoth, who's now a Freedom Fiends co-host, and he's in my rock and roll group, Biptunia, which we'll never tour. We're like the Beatles after they got good. We'll never tour because there's no point in it because, you know, it's a young man's game. But also, like, who wants to go play bars, you know, be a jukebox for drunk people? Which is where you have to start. I've done that. I've been that guy. But
undesirable.
Yeah, but, you know, like, Jamestown, New York was the furniture capital of the world. It was the home of Crescent Tools, you know, like the wrenches. That it was like the only one of the only wrench companies back then. And everyone had a job. And I don't know, sometime in the 80s or 90s, early to mid 80s, everything moved overseas. And now it's completely gone overseas to where Jamestown has a really high unemployment rate. Everyone's drunk. You know, a friend of mine was murdered in his home by a childhood friend who, so there was this thing called the Satanic Panic. Do you know about the Satanic Panic?
No, I mean, that is one of those, I remember hearing the term, but what is it?
Well.
Oh, that was, wait. No, wait, I knew. This is the whole 80s music scene, right?
Well, like that was
Frank
part
Zappa
of it.
And.
He wasn't,
you know.
Really? Was he satanic? I don't know. He was just good.
No.
I think
no,
he was
that
considered
was no
obscene.
Him, but.
Yeah. More like Led Zeppelin.
Def Leppard.
Yeah, before Def Leppard. I mean, Led Zeppelin, you know. I mean, Led Zeppelin let rumors be spread about them that they sold their soul to the devil, which I don't think is possible. I don't know if there is a devil. But if there was, you know, I don't think they did that. I think they sold their soul to the music biz, you know. And they had a manager who was like a thug, like a gangster before that was cool. But yeah, Satanic Panic. So it's also connected to the term moral panic. There's a book called Satanic Panic that was written by a college professor that Phil and I had at Jamestown Community College. And this book was really, you know, this is a bestseller. And this guy was like on all the talk shows and stuff. The guy's name was Jeffrey God, what was his name? Jeffrey S. Victor. You can get this book on Amazon used for, wow, it's out of print. It's $23 or $38. Man, I'll bet you can find it somewhere cheap. That's kind of like my records. Like my records from that are way out of print that we pressed like 1,000 copies of in the 80s. You can either find them for like 50 cents or like $50. Like never in between, usually. So, so Satanic Panic was a moral panic or mass hysteria in the late 70s, early 80s. That people saw the devil everywhere is the best way to say it. You know, like people, I mean, 666 was on half the rock and roll record covers, but, you know, like people believe there. I went to a talk at Jamestown Community College. It was from an outside enterprise. Now they wouldn't let this person in the school at all, but it was like a guy who was a Christian guy that was coming in. You know, they'd lump him in with like the people that believe in free trade and believe that, you know, whatever the leftists believe, you know, the leftists wouldn't let this guy in now, but he came in. Isn't that weird how like everything's divided down the middle? Like if you're left or right, like if you're left, you have to be for killing babies and you have to be for sex at any age and you have to be against guns and you have to be in favor of war. And if you're on the right, you have to not kill babies, but you have to be into killing babies overseas. But you, what else do they believe? I don't know. They think, you know, pot should be a felony and there should be lots of
borders.
The only place they
lots
really
militarized borders.
The only place they really agree is war, I think. You know that? Nima Vanati and I said something a long time ago on this show 5 or 6 years ago was that any time the left and the right agree, you're in trouble. Because they can pass whatever it is. It's probably not good.
Kind of like the gun laws that are threatening? Or
Yeah. Like all these puss, cuckoo bird Republicans and country singers that are now like, okay, I'm sawing my AR-15 in half. And I don't know why I'm doing a Southern accent because they're from everywhere. But yeah, like, did you see the guy that sawed his AR-15 in half on YouTube?
I saw it on Facebook and scrolled past it because I didn't want to stop there.
Well, there was an interesting side note about that. You know what he did, right?
He took it apart?
No. He sawed the barrel down. You know, like pretend, like thinking he was deactivating it, but he was creating an illegal sawed-off rifle. It's kind of like a sawed-off shotgun, like rifles below a certain. he was committing a felony and pretending it was anti-gun activism, but he was, like the thing that Randy Weaver's wife got shot in the face for. You know, he was basically doing. He was creating an arbitrary length, shorter weapon that was illegal for some reason. But yeah, but it still worked. That was the thing. Like, that's not how you deactivate a gun. Like, to deactivate a weapon, you have to, I don't know, plug the barrel or cut the bolt down the middle. There's all ways to do it. They do it in England. Like, in England, you can pay thousands of dollars if you're a collector and have, you know, weapons of your favorite war that you study historically. And they have to be deactivated a certain way. But yeah, that rifle would still fire.
Those poor disarmed people in England.
I know, man. Yeah, in England, like, if someone breaks in your house and and if they have a gun and you hit them with a chair and, you know, injure them, you can go to prison and they might not, and you might lose your home. You can't do self-defense there, even without a gun or a knife. It's crazy.
I guess the only way is just to insure everything and then have a panic room and run away.
Did you ever see the movie Panic Room? Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's great. It's Fincher. It's basically a remake of the old movie, Wait Until Dark, which is a Hitchcock movie. It's a Hitchcock-like movie from the 60s where, like, these criminals try to... Spoiler alert, you know, the movie from the 60s. I'm going to tell a synopsis. Blind woman whose husband is a cop. Cop has a child's doll that's full of heroin that was evidence in his home. He's out of town for the day. I mean, this is weird. I mean, it already sounds like a dirty cop to me, but they're all, you know, dirtier than some. But anyway, so that's the setup. So this woman's alone in a house. She doesn't know there's a doll full of heroin in the house. And the rightful owners of the heroin that the cop took it away from are trying to get it back. And they're breaking in the house. And the woman is blind. And it's kind of a game of cat and mouse for the whole movie where the advantage goes back and forth between her and them. And, you know, some point she breaks all the light bulbs out and then she's ahead and they can't see, but she can navigate the house in the dark. And then they open the refrigerator and she forgot to break the light in there. Just, it's absurd. But Panic Room is a movie with Jodie Foster. Her as the mother and then some young like 10-year-old girl that looks exactly like Jodie Foster. It's like unreal. As the daughter, the husband's out of town. She's in the house. There's a panic room in the house, and people, including Jared Leto from Requiem for a Dream, you know, the Harry in Requiem for a Dream, break into the house. Oh, and I think we call him creepy guy, the black dude with the wonky eye that was in Good Morning Vietnam, that guy. I like him. Good actor.
Oh, Morton Downey Jr.
No, Morton Downey Jr. I'm gonna Google this. I'm gonna Google black actor with wonky eye. Black. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
A black actor with blue eyes. Let's see. It's autofilling blue eyes. No, wonky eye with. This is absurd. Is this
Samuel L. Jackson?
No, you're thinking of guys that didn't pay their taxes. Wait. Okay, look, it's autofilling. I type black actor with W-O, and it says black actor with wonky eye. Although it might be because my Android phone is sitting next to me, and, you know, the Borg is already listening now. Forrest Whitaker is in that movie.
That's it.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker. Oh, it's the greatest cast. So it's basically what's called a bottle episode, but it's a movie. So do you know what a bottle episode is?
Nope.
It's okay. Like every show you've seen has one. So a bottle episode is an episode that largely or entirely takes place in one location. Like it kind of looks like a play.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
And pretty much every serial show has one at some point. The reason they do them is because it's really cheap, because they can reuse a location that they've already built or secured. But this movie takes place entirely in one house. And it's a mansion in New York City, kind of rundown mansion. She just moved in. It stars, okay, the casting for the criminals is great. So it's got Forrest Whitaker, who my wife and I call creepy guy because of the creepy, creepy, creepy character he played on The Shield. The dirty cop he played on The Shield, who was really broken and really smart and a detective and was just like ruining everybody, including other cops who didn't do his will. But so it's Forrest Whitaker, Jared Leto, and Dwight Yoakam, the country singer. And Jared Leto has like cornrows in it. Like he's kind of wiggy looking. Yeah, it's weird. So it's, she and a daughter hear the people breaking in. They're trying to get bearer bonds. Which I don't even know if that exists anymore. Now they probably make it Bitcoin. You know what bearer bonds are?
I've heard of them. Securities. Basically.
Yeah, they're securities.
Things
are like,
that can,
you know,
appreciate or depreciate.
They're big sheets of paper on parchment that look like the Constitution or something. And they're supposedly you can cash them. Whoever bears them can cash them is the idea. So they used to be a MacGuffin in crime movies a lot. Because, you know, if someone could get one, they'd be rich and they could cash it without suspicion. Although I suspect if you walked into any bank in the world right now with a stack of bearer bonds, they'd probably look at you sideways, unless it's in one of those.
I think MacGuffin is something that some of the audience might not know, but this is
Explain
a device
it.
Used in movies that it helps move things along if you just sort of accept the premise that whatever. You know,
it's often the goal. It's often the thing they're trying to get, and it's often something kind of unbelievable, like bearer bond, like a stack of bearer bonds. Or a really good example is what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, the glowing briefcase. Like you don't have to know what it is. People say, "Oh, is it gold? Is it his soul? Is it a neutron bomb? You know, it's glowing. What is it?" We see the glow on someone's face, and they say, "It's beautiful. Is that what I think it is?" And he says, "Yeah." And then that's all you know about it, you know. And there's actually a thing where the director of that and the director of Mariachi were doing an interview together. It's really funny. It's on YouTube, and they're talking about it, and he's like, well, okay, so I'm going to – so you're going to tell now what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, right? And he's like, yep. So what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction is – and then, like, the video and audio gets all glitchy for, like, 20 seconds, and then the other guy's like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, those zany typical Hollywood types. So, yeah, panic room. So, yeah, it's like basically she's in the panic room, and you turn out to not be as safe as you think in a panic room. You'd be better just shooting the people. I don't know if that's the moral of the story there, but I bet that any Hollywood director with tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars probably, if doesn't have his own guns, probably has armed guards living on his premises 24/7. Especially with those crazy stalkers out there. Yeah. But so basically it turns out, you know, she's not safe in the panic room. She's trapped in the panic room. And they have ways of, I mean, put it this way. There's ventilation going into the panic room, you know.
And I was just looking at, it looks like Forrest Whitaker was playing John Kavanaugh in The Shield.
Oh, that's creepy,
the
guy.
Cop that,
yeah, man.
That's creepy guy.
Oh, yeah. John Kavanaugh. Yeah, man. So creepy. Brilliant. Brilliant actor. Love him. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably isn't like that creepy.
He's probably not, even though his wonky eye looks creepy. All right, so it's gotten wonkier. You know, if you notice in Good Morning Vietnam, it's not that wonky. But yeah, so moral panics, panic rooms. This sounds like one of those free associations on Rick and Morty, how he solves problems.
Exactly.
Yep. So moral panics are mass hysteria. Are people reacting irrationally in groups, sometimes large groups, sometimes in a town, sometimes in a school, sometimes in a town, sometimes in a country, sometimes in the world. And in this late 70s, early 80s, I would say till the late 80s, there was a moral panic about satanic influence, the devil in the world in America, mostly in America. And I remember this guy came to our school and talked, and he was giving a lecture on, you know, the evils of rock and roll. The name of the lecture was something like that. And I went to it because I was into evil rock and roll. And I asked him lots of questions and, you know, kind of irked him, like, well, what's your proof? Well, how do you know there's a devil? Well, the Bible says so. How do you know the Bible's true? Well, the Bible says so. You know, just this circular, self-confirming, illogical train of thought that he was passing for logic. And I knew these people weren't satanic. I knew Led Zeppelin wasn't evil. They were my friends. You know, in my brain, I had a personal relationship with them, which he would probably say is the devil talking to me. But it was crazy to the point where, like, I mean, and ground zero for it, one of the ground zeros for it was Jamestown, New York. And I had a tertiary involvement with it because I used to live with some of the people that were involved with this. So somebody who I don't know who it was, from the Indian reservation, probably not the Indians, probably the crazy white people who lived there, Salamanca, came up to Jamestown and, like, killed some cats and did satanic things with them, which is evil. And I would personally do horrible things to those people if I could get away with it and knew who they were. Does that make it right? Does that make me right? I don't know, but I would. And there's a black cat in the room with me, and it's bringing me good luck, and it's very much alive. Yeah. Not vengeful, just protective of the little beasts, you know? And maybe I'm a hypocrite. I eat meat. But, you know, anyone that would... Also, it's an issue of property, you know? Like somebody's pet that they care of deeply, taking it and killing it. Like, that's evil. Although I would have almost the same problem with a stray cat, which is not logical. It's just feelings. But, hey, you know? I mean, there was a state rep in Wyoming, one of the legislators here, that was shooting cats, and it was well known that he was shooting stray cats and believed he was doing a service to the community. But I don't know. I think that guy.
There's crazy people like that over here.
That's creepy.
I don't like it.
Oh yeah, because Hawaii has a cat issue because it's an island, and the thing is, like, they're considered an invasive species, but every species is that's not in the wild, and humans are, for that matter. You know,
it's out of perspective, basically. That's the kind of thing.
What is it? Tell me about it. And the wombats. No, not wombats. What they bring in to eat the rats? Wait, so
they brought in mongoose.
Okay, so there were rats. They brought in.
They brought in rats. Yeah.
No, they did. Well, they brought in rats accidentally on ships. The Europeans. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Or the Asians. Yeah. Who did? Who came? Who brought those things? You're closer to Japan than Europe.
I think I don't really know the answer, so I'm just going to take a guess at it. And
you're going to blame Whitey?
Who's wrong. Yeah, I'm going to blame Whitey on the rats part right now. Okay. I know that it was the Polynesians from Tahiti who brought the pigs over, oink, and that was smart, you know, in some ways, even though if they can cause damage to your property.
There was a thing that they used to, that travelers used to do, which was bring pigs on a ship, you know, go island hopping, go to uninhabited islands, release a couple, a male and a female pig, and then come back in a year or two, and there'd be a bunch of pigs for them to eat. And that's kind of how they homesteaded islands, in a way. Do you know that?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, there were several different plants and animals that were brought over because that was their practice, is to go and terraform a new island, basically.
Terrorize. And so, terraform.
Yeah. Terraform, yeah. And so, you know, since that time, other powerful people with bigger ships came over and terraformed it further. And now there's, like, you know, in my mind, here's the invasive species here. Fire ants, that's invasive. That's a problem here. And mosquitoes, that was unnecessary. Who in their right mind brought mosquitoes here?
Won't fire ants, like, carry your kids away? I'm kidding.
You know, it's a good thing that they're not, like, I guess I'm saying they're not that bad. No, they're bad. They're really bad in some places. And it really encourages a whole lot of poison, which I don't have a way around. I have to have poison to not have fire ants. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say, too, that, like, banning DDT has done more harm to good than the world, because malaria is up in the third world, as they say, because the mosquitoes are up, because they banned DDT because it causes some human problems. But, yeah.
See, this is the thing where I wanted to bring this point up. I prefer to be scientifically agnostic until I really have a need to make a decision. So I don't really know if DDT is or isn't incredibly harmful to environment because I haven't tested it. I haven't done it myself.
You should get some.
I don't trust it.
You should do some testing, you know, blind. Have your girlfriend, like, you know, mix up two packets. One's a little DDT in your cereal. One's a little sugar. See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and I didn't mean personal Daryl testing. I meant, like, real testing. Like, it involves more than just Daryl, you know? Like, I need, like, a Daryl Institute, not just, like, something that a mere mortal girlfriend can whip up, you know? It's got to be more powerful than that. So, you know, when we get back from the break, I'm just kidding. I have no idea when the breaks are. I've got this show clock in front of me here, and I got to honestly say,
show clock.
I'm lost.
Yeah, forget it.
Exactly.
Don't look at it. Don't look
don't
at it.
Don't even look at
don't
it.
Don't look at it. Yeah, you know, a thing with science, and it's good to be politically or scientifically agnostic until you have more evidence, is people get religious about their pet project. And I'm kind of not surprised, you know, like as soon as you realize these things that are kind of hidden, like, I mean, I don't know if that's true about the DDT. I saw a video on YouTube. It sounded convincing. It had blurry pictures with red arrows on it. It had evidence, quote unquote. But yeah, man, I don't know. But people get insane. Like the people have alternate opinions other than the government about 9/11. I don't know what happened. I don't know. And I say that, and, like, otherwise rational people start screaming at me about Building 7 and then unblock me or block me. But the funniest thing I've seen about Building 7 is, this is kind of, I like dark humor. This is good. So it's a picture of the World Trade Center with the smoking rubble and an arrow pointing to it. This is never forget. And then there's another smaller arrow pointing to where Building 7 was, and it says forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 7 World Trade Center buildings, all of them damaged beyond the ability to simply repair.
Oh, no. Here we go. Oh, no. Okay.
You know, there it goes.
Yep. So we're going to talk about chairs and chair choices at some point. But I want to talk about my dead Daryl and the Satanic Panic. Do you know about my dead Daryl?
No.
I'm not talking about you, man. Don't worry. So
that's a good thing.
When I went to college with these guys from Salamanca that I think they're friends with the, I don't know if they had anything to do with that. But so they were, they'd grown up in Salamanca, like white dudes in Salamanca. Salamanca is the Indian reservation, I don't know, within 45 minutes from Jamestown or so. And they were all going to college in Jamestown. And I was roommates with them. And they were punk rockers, but they were like Salt Lake City punk 1, not Salt Lake City 2, punk 2. Salt Lake City 1, the punkers are, like, kind of violent and break stuff for the heck of it. Salt Lake City 2, Punk's Dead, which just hit Netflix, came out last year. I highly recommend it. It's much better than the first one. It doesn't claim Punk's Dead. It's actually, spoiler alert, told from the viewpoint of the ghost of Heroin Bob, who didn't do heroin, who dies in the end of the first episode. Spoiler alert. But the punks in this are a little more, you know, little mellower. You know, they still got an edge, but they're not just out breaking things. But these were the kind of punk rockers. At least Greg Bowles, my roommate, was the kind of punk rocker that used to just break things. I don't like him.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I had a bad feeling about him, and he later got arrested and went to prison for many years for, turned out he was molesting some girls that were very young that he was babysitting for years and had trust of the family for like 10 years, which is really, really creepy. But his brother, Dwayne Bowles, not Daryl Bowles. Dwayne was the other brother that didn't like me. So Dwayne Bowles, I get them all mixed up. It's a long time. It was 1984. So Dwayne Bowles, in the middle of the satanic panic, this guy named Brian Ditcher, who was a childhood friend of his, and I've told this story before on the show, but it bears retelling because Greg Bowles and some friends of his from Salamanca, not his brother, trashed my house one night, the house I lived in. We didn't have a phone. I stayed there to guard my equipment so they wouldn't trash it. I had over $1,000 worth of musical equipment, which is, you know, like $4,000 worth now. And so they just destroyed the place. They were drunk. You know, we had parties there every once in a while. Usually there's some girls and some weed, but this one, there were no girls and there was just alcohol. So, you know, none of the stuff that was illegal that makes you mellow, but the stuff that's legal that makes everyone violent pretty much was available. And these guys just thought it was punk to break stuff because they'd seen, like, I don't know, Quincy. You remember that show, Quincy? They had a moral panic punk rock episode.
I remember Quincy because I remember Ben Casey, which was the old person's Quincy.
Yeah. Well, oh man, I got to go. Ben Casey's going to be on, and then MacGyver. But well, actually, you know, that was the first like CSI type show. Casey? Was he a forensic?
Yeah.
Really? Emmy? Yeah. Okay. Because Quincy was a forensic sure. Emmy, and they say that he was. That was the first like. Without that show, you don't have CSI. You know, 30 years later.
Yeah, I think that they were all building on each other. It's just that you know, most people standing on the shoulders are not even going to know what Ben Casey means.
What is Ben Casey? How do you know that? You're younger than me, and that's like, you know, my older sister's years.
I'm
is it just getting to Hawaii? Is Hawaii
things.
Just getting that on TV now?
It's that kind of, it just finally came here through the coconut wireless. You know? So just.
Oh, that's the one where he drew the weird symbols on the board of like male, female, star,
life,
cross,
death, infinity.
Yes, yes.
And then
that
Ben
was
Casey.
Weird, man. I looked at that on YouTube recently and I was like, wow, I remember seeing that when I was probably in rerun because it was over in 66 and I was born, I almost said died in 64. I was born in 64. I didn't die. So. But yeah, I was 2 when that was out, so I was probably watching a rerun. Although they weren't as big on reruns back then. Stuff got in syndication 20 years later when they started that cable and stuff, or 30 years later. But yeah, so.
So you know why we went off on that little tangent, right?
Yeah, because I was talking about, do you?
Well, yeah, because first of all, your friend Daryl died.
No, Dwayne, get it straight, man.
I'm sorry.
You should know this by now. Dwayne Bowles, yeah.
Dwayne Bowles.
Daryl was the brother that didn't like me. Because I went as David Bowie for Halloween and was like wearing, you know, dyed my hair orange and wore lipstick and a dress. And he just called me, you know, he assumed that meant something when really it was Halloween, man. And I was going as my hero, you know, and he hated me ever since then. Daryl did, you know, the good ones always die and the creepy ones always live. So Daryl is probably still around. I don't know what he's doing. His brother's dead. His other brother was in jail for diddling. Horrible, horrible, man. And I mean, these guys, you have to remember, like, these guys look weird in a time like now, you know, if you have a mohawk, people go, oh my, how retroactive. You know, in 1981, if you had a mohawk in a small town in the Rust Belt, like, people stopped their pickup trucks and beat you up, you know. And he had a mohawk. I had a shaved head. You know, Daryl had blue hair. Dwayne had blue hair. Daryl was just, you know, just a redneck who looked kind of new wave. But we had this band called the Armless Children that later I replaced everybody one by one, and later it was none of them, and it was this guy Tony playing drums, my friend Doug playing bass, who's now like doesn't talk to me because I don't love America, you know, like he does, and Phil Warmoth, who's now in Viptunia. Like, it goes full circle, you know, like that guy was in that band later. So this guy murdered this guy, Brian Ditcher, who was childhood friends with all the Bowles brothers, sounds like Outlaws. Like one day just walked into this house at one, I think it was 174 Faulkner Street, where I lived in San Francisco, in Jamestown. I just moved to DC a couple months earlier. So I would have been there if this had happened. And my friend Harry Lardner, who you see on Facebook sometimes, he was there. He was friends with all of them, grew up with them. He was at that house and left about an hour before this happened. Brian walked into the house, like all charged up, like, yeah, with a shotgun in his hand, walked into the room, and they're like, wow, where'd you get the shotgun? Cool. And then, you know, he cocked it and shot his friend in the chest. You know, and like his friend's like, what, why, Brian? And died, as according to witnesses. And I can't tell this story enough because it's so much like a movie. It's weird and it just deserves to be told.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Brian Ditcher, the other guys jumped out the second story window. One of them broke through the glass, like rolled in the yard, got cut in the glass, ran away, called the cops. Brian left, put the shotgun calmly in the trunk of his car, according to him, according to his report, drove downtown, went to a diner, an all-night diner, went in, was the only person there, ordered a cup of cocoa, drank it, slowly sat there not talking, and then said to the waitress, the only other person there, can I use your phone? You know, this is before there were cell phones. Said, can I use your phone? I have to turn myself in. And she's like, okay, yes, please do. You know, and handed him the phone. He calls 911 and says, this is Brian Ditcher. I'm at such and such restaurant, diner. I just killed a satanic drug dealer. And that was his story, and he was sticking to it. And he went to prison for like 24 years. And when he was up to get out, they put him in a mental institution, and he's still there because he seems like he's still a threat to society, allegedly. But yeah. this was blamed on this, like the reason he thought these guys were Satanists was because, you know, they had an Iron Maiden T-shirt or something that said 666 on it, and like this guy bought into the satanic panic so much and was unstable and probably doing speed, but he believed that this guy was a Satanist because he had a T-shirt, you know, and he killed him for it. So that's what mass hysteria does. It kills. So don't do it.
There's a whole page on Satanic Panic in Rational Wiki, not a website I look at very often.
A website that's hit or miss because sometimes it's just making fun of things. And they also think that libertarians are idiots. So I don't really
have a lot of respect for them. And they think my profession is completely worthless. And you
what
know,
is your
people
profession?
Waste their money on.
State for the court your the state your profession, please, sir.
Licensed acupuncturist, license number 1070, state of Hawaii. Yeah.
Don't give out your license number.
I'm sorry.
I don't care.
That was too late for that.
I don't care. We're live. All right. So anyway, yeah. What they say about it? What does Rational Wiki say about it?
So. Basically, it's a phenomenon characterized by widespread fear about the presence of satanic ritual abuse in one's community, state, or country. So we're talking about the phenomenon of satanic panic during the 70s, gaining traction in the 80s and 90s, when a widespread belief took hold within American evangelical Christianity.
Evangelical
Christianity, that a vast network of satanists were in control of secular societies. And basically, we're talking everything: rock music, Dungeons and Dragons, and heavy metal music.
That's society. Yeah,
that part.
I mean, it's kind of like to be able to say the Jews control everything, but everything the Jews didn't control, the Satanists control. But then again, the Jews controlled the record companies, so didn't they really control the Satanists? You're a Jew. Let me know. What are your opinions?
I'm not going to confirm or deny Judaism is in any way a genetic thing.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, having like relatives that went through the bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah kind of thing. Yeah, I got some of that.
My dad was a Freemason. So, does that mean I run the country? Where's my check?
You got 33rd degree, huh?
You know, the thing is, the 33rd degree, they make it sound really spooky and stuff, but I think that there's like 3 degrees. I think there's like first, second, and 33rd, aren't there?
I think I could learn about this on Wikipedia, right?
Yeah, I know. People are saying, like, you idiots, you don't know. And I'm like, well, I could Google it and know in 5 seconds, but I don't want to stop the show to do that. So moral panics. Yeah, go ahead. Ben Casey.
It's infinity.
Man, woman, birth, life. Death, infinity. Yeah, the cross isn't a cross on that. It's a dagger. It's death. Yeah.
I think what holds it together, as far as the theme that you're bringing up of the ritual panics that can happen, that, I'm sorry, mass hallucinations and such.
Like government?
It comes to groupthink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes down to groupthink of, I want to be in alignment with this group of people who likes me for some reason, who accepts me for various reasons, I think. And so I'm going to sign on to these things, like all these people here who all signed on to voting Democrat Hillary during this last presidential election.
Ew.
I mean, this whole state. You know,
what
and
state?
Anyone who was
oh, Hawaii? Yeah, I'm in Wyoming where like everyone, one of the reasons I don't vote here, I mean, I don't vote anyway, but because it's ridiculous and it's playing a dangerous game and you don't influence it and your vote does not matter. But it really doesn't matter in my state or your state. It matters in like 6 states. It matters in swing states because no matter how I vote, or even if I could get 100 people to vote, which would be kind of hard, or even 1,000, Wyoming is going to vote Republican every time for everything. In your state, Hawaii, where Obama,
Democrat,
Obama's from, you know, you could have the Young Republicans Club for Liberty there and get 10,000 people to vote Republican, and it would still go Democrat. So any of these people that say, you have to vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain. I say if you do vote, you can't complain. Because if you do vote, you're perpetuating, you know, here's what's happening. You're perpetuating a system that is lose-lose for everybody and win-win for the politicians and the people that own them. And, God, I sound like Rick on Rick and Morty. And if you perpetuate, I'm not saying that by not voting, that's your protest vote and you'll end this slavery once and for all. But first of all, I can't with good conscience do it. And second of all, it's perpetuating something that is going to kill us all. Here's the thing. I learned about groupthink from my dad, who is a farmer, with his statements about sheep, literally. So, and this applies to people. He said that when he owned a farm, he was born in 1929. He's 97. 29, 21. 21. He's 97, and he's still, like, pretty healthy. You know, he's being taken care of, and but he can still dress himself. He can talk. He can still tell long stories from long ago that people in the family want to hear, and he doesn't mess them up. And, you know, he's not senile, which is good, bodes well for me. So he said that when he was a farmer in Sherman, New York, one town over from Westfield, 3 towns over from Jamestown, so it was like, it was expensive to electrify your fence. And, you know, electric fences, for people that live in big cities and don't know, are fences that are wires on little insulators on posts that go all the way around, that if the animal touches them, they get a generally harmless, but I wouldn't say mild, electric shock. I've grabbed one myself, but then again, I'm not covered with fur. You ever grab an electric fence?
Yeah.
I used to do it for kicks. Like, this is how you can tell I was a pleasure seeker. Like, when we'd go visit my aunt and I'd go down to the pond by myself and skip stones and look at, you know, cranes and crows and cows and stuff and really dig nature and talk to God. Well, you know, that's what the voices in my head told me. I don't know what I was doing, but I remember it fondly, and it talked back, whatever it was. And there were electric fences for the cows, and I touched them one time. They told me, don't touch the electric fence. You'll get a shock. So of course, what do? I touch it with a stick first. Nothing happens. And then I touch it really quick, like hit it and pull my hand off. And I got a jolt. And I'm like, it wasn't pleasurable. And I'm not a masochist, but it was like, that was different. I felt different. I'm going to try it again. You know,
uh-huh.
Like the kids who jump off the swings, you can tell they're going to be the ones that get in trouble and change the world. Yeah. So I was doing that. But my dad said that in his day, on that same farm, you know, 30 years earlier, 40 years earlier, He was 43 when he had me, and my brother was in law school. My sisters were in high school. So when he was born, or when he was a farmer, when he was like, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, when he was a farmer, up to like 35, I think, they moved to the big city of Westfield, population 3,500 when I was born. No, so like the year before I was born. So when he was 42. So he was a farmer up until, from his birth till 42. And I say birth because on a farm, you start working at like five somewhat and really working by like 12. So he went to a one-room schoolhouse. That's a whole nother story. So he said that, yeah, I know. And he learned, and he graduated high school when he's 15, because in a one-room schoolhouse, if you got bored and knew everything in one class, you'd just go in the other class in the same room, you know? So the way they dealt with sheep and electric fences was, it was very expensive back then to have electric fences. And they, hey, DJ, will you turn off the heat, please? Thank you, baby.
Oh.
So
getting cold over there.
It's getting hot over here. So with electric fences, it was expensive to do. So there were companies that would rent you electric fences, or they'd rent electrifying your fence for a couple weeks or maybe a couple months. And then, so you'd have these, you know, be electric. The sheep would bump into it. They'd get shocked. And eventually none of the sheep would bump into it. They'd all like see each other get shocked, or they'd get shocked themselves. And then then you'd stop paying for the rental, and they'd come take the electrifying box to another farm. You know, they had a bunch of these, and they'd take them to different farms at the same time. And after a couple months of having it, you didn't need it anymore, because none of the sheep would go get shocked because they remembered it. They were afraid of it forever. And they passed this on to their young, like five and six generations down, like years later, the baby sheep would never go near that fence, because basically the adults would somehow tell them, never go near that fence. That's why they're still voting. That's why we're still slaves to politicians, because our parents said, you know, I mean, when I told my dad I stopped, my dad's proud of me. My dad likes everything I've done. He likes that I'm an entrepreneur and an author and all the things that, you know, he kind of hoped to be. And he lives vicariously through me. And he did some cool stuff too. And he's a writer, writes for the local paper, or did. And, you know, he's tried to rise above his station, and I have too, and I've done well at it, and he's proud of me. He likes politically, you know, we both like guns, we both don't like taxes, we both think politicians are all crooks. But when I told him that I'd stopped voting like 7 or 8 years ago, he was crestfallen. Like, he had to sit down and like catch his breath.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest. Org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
He's homophobic, and if I'd been gay and told him I was gay, I'm not, but if I'd said that, I think he would have been less harmed than when I told him I'd stopped voting, you know? So
you,
that's
a sacred cow, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, the sheep pass it on to their sheep, to their sheep, to their baby sheep, to their baby sheep. And that's why they're still voting. I mean, a good example that I've always heard is, you know, with slavery. Like, there were people that were against slavery, but they said, without slavery, how will the cotton get picked? And then, you know, the cotton gin came along that could do a lot of the work of, well, not picking it, but and there are things that could pick it. And, you know, mechanization made there less need for slaves. And people were still like, yes, I don't believe slaves should be, you know, and like Jefferson freed his slaves upon his death in his will. But, you know, he kept him till he died. I mean, that guy's supposed to be a bastion of freedom. I don't know. So Ben Casey, that show, that was not an ME show. That was like a brain surgery show, wasn't it? Or something.
All I remember is just
the intro.
The absurdity of this black and white. Yeah. Oh, you want to go for the intro?
Nah. Forget it. So, wait, what? What was absurd about Ben Casey? The 1961 show?
It was in black
show?
And white. Yeah,
that's cool.
The opening, the cold open with the life, death, man, woman, infinity, and Ben Casey.
Yes.
His head at the bottom.
Yes.
Which is so absurd. And so
it was kind of psychedelic. It was kind of hippie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It seemed out of place.
Yeah. Well, not really pre-hippie, but by the end of it, there were hippies. At the beginning of it, there were beatniks, but they were weird too. So, oh, you know, when I was talking about my friend Dwayne Bowles, who was murdered, And I called him Daryl Bowles. And people might be going, and you call this guy your friend? No, you have to remember, when they were alive, I got their names mixed up. I do that. All right, so let's see. We want to talk about Senator Charles K. Scott of Wyoming. Ugh.
Ooh.
All right. No, wait. So we're gonna moral pivot into from, you know, historic moral panics and satanic panics. And I mean, probably the first satanic panic was literally a witch hunt. It was literally the witch burnings in Salem, Massachusetts. It was mass hysteria, Massachusetts. Get it? Okay, I stole that joke, but it's pretty good. Is that why they call it mass hysteria? Because it started in mass Taxachusetts? Probably. Yeah, so...
Taxachusetts.
So, Senator Charles K. Scott. So, there's this bill in Wyoming. I know people in Wyoming. Maybe I'm in Wyoming. I'm not gonna admit it if I am, because I'm on the radio there. We're on the radio there. But what's this Bitcoin bill? What's Bitcoin, first of all? You're good at that. Explain that. You're good at everything, but explain that, please.
All right, Bitcoin right now is...
For those people who've been living in a cave or in Wyoming, go ahead.
If you haven't heard of Bitcoin, it is a peer-to-peer digital cryptocurrency. One of, at this point, close to 3,000, but there's 3,000 of them.
Wow.
At least. So, but it's the first one, and it came out in January 3rd, 2009, when it was trading at way under a penny. And right now, one Bitcoin trades at over $11,000. So it's a commodity. And it's a, you know, people can move it person to person, so you can do things, buy stuff with it. And then there's all these other cryptocurrencies that have different valuations, none of them quite 11,000, but there's different valuations. And people like to use them, and they're connected to businesses, and they're actually, it's a type of technology similar to the way internet is. It has, you know, data storage capabilities. There's all kinds of things of promises of the future, things called smart contracts that don't require a town hall. Imagine your deed to your house, a title to your car, etc. Those kinds of things stored in a way that you can't erase, because everyone has a copy.
And people say, but no, the government has, no, but deeds at town halls can be and have been and are faked, you know, faked, deleted, lost in a fire. I mean, actually,
with the right amount of money, you could make sure that someone's deed is lost.
Yeah. And you cannot on a blockchain. So people are still scared of the blockchain and have a moral panic about it. And an example of that is that several years ago, I don't know, well, Bitcoin's been around since 2009, right? Sometime in that time, I think around, you know, when Wyoming finally heard of it, 2000, you know, 15 maybe. I'm kidding. I love Wyoming. I live here. So, but there are some people who are very afraid of change here. And it's not entirely true. I mean, Wyoming, they love to say how progressive they are because they were the first state to let women vote. You know,
or a woman governor.
Woman governor. Well, first of all, women voting, you know, always leads to giving away everything. I mean, you know, they're going to lynch me for saying that, but I've actually heard an argument that they shouldn't let women vote because it's responsible for the moral decline of the world, because women, because they're nurturing, want to give away everyone else's money to help everyone they have nothing to do with. I don't know
sour
if that's
grapes.
True, but I'm, yeah. But the first woman governor also sold a lot of the water rights in the state to Montana, so she was no hero. And I do believe that giving women the vote here in the late 1800s was just an effort to get some of them to move here, because there weren't many, because it was, you know, gold miners and sheep farmers and oil men. Well, it wasn't oil men. Oil was, you know, before the early 1900s, if you were drilling for water and struck oil, you were considered an unlucky person. Did you know that?
Oof.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
You know,
but then again, typical,
you know. Yeah, and you know why we live in Wyoming and not West Virginia? We actually considered West Virginia because it's similar politically and gun wise and at the time tax wise to Wyoming 10 years ago when we moved here. But the reason we didn't move to West Virginia was we found out that in West Virginia you usually don't own the mineral rights on your home, because they've either been lost or intentionally lost. It's really hard to find out if you own the mineral rights on your land, to the point where it's not uncommon for you to buy your little, you know, 40 acres of nature of heaven out in the wilderness and build your little homestead and do everything you want to do when you finally have your own little farm, your little hobby farm. And then you wake up one morning and there is heavy machinery being moved into your yard to drill for oil, and there's nothing you can do about it. Which, doesn't happen as much in Wyoming because, you know, everything happened here later, so not all the deeds are lost. But if they're
blockchain technology solves that, because here's the thing. I mean, I realize some of the people listening don't understand what that means. Here, I'll make it simple in easy language. If you have a copy of your deed, if, you know, title search, etc., that kind of thing, if everything is all obviously established and that copy is distributed to literally hundreds of thousands of unknown location computers across the world, and they all are syncing up periodically to make sure that they all have the proper records.
Every couple minutes, constantly. But there's a new Bitcoin block every 10 minutes. With other coins, it's 2 minutes. With some, it's 1 minute. You know, with that new coin Kratom, with that coin Kratom that I heard about, it's every 60 seconds. And
I'm going to get some Kratom.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's legal, but there's no, it's named after something somewhere. But there's a coin. It's Kratom.pw. Someone sent me this and I looked at it. It looked interesting. I don't know what PW is. I think it's Phil Warmoth. No, it's Palau. It's something in the where Kratom comes from, near Thailand.
Palau, over in the Pacific.
Yeah, yeah. Your neighbors. That's a great in Hawaii. Experience. Yeah, across the pond. Yeah. So here are the common complaints, the moral panics from Bitcoin, and they're absurd. I mean, first of all, people say every time Bitcoin goes down, they say it's dead, and they have this like Schadenfreude, like ha ha, you people who trusted this new thing I don't understand are getting messed over. Now here's the thing, like when Bitcoin went up to 20,000, a lot of noobs got into it. People who'd been saying, "Oh, it's just fake money," for years, finally got into it to the point where like people mortgaged their house and people ran up their credit card and bought a lot of it. And then it immediately went down because there was such a high, so many people trading it that it, you know, the price went down. And people who bought it at $5 were like, maybe it's time to sell some of this, you know? And now it's down to what, 11,000, I think, last time I looked. And it went down to like 7,000 about a month ago. And people declared Bitcoin dead for like the 40th time. I mean, since it came, you know, I remember when it was $10 and it went up to $100 and then it went down to $40 and people said it was dead. And people who say it went up to 20,000 and now it's down to 10,000, it's dead. Not for people that bought it last year at 5,000, you know, or 2,000. So it cannot be killed. Actually, Bitcoin itself has some issues, mainly a huge company with a lot of money. And this is a problem, is that they're not really entirely decentralized. They're distributed. For true decentralization, and there's coins now that are more decentralized. Monero's more decentralized. There's ways to prevent that. Like Bitcoin was kind of the Model T Ford, and there's some coins coming out now, like Monero, which Monero is truly truly private. You know, like people say, oh, Bitcoin's for selling drugs. No, it's not. Bitcoin is more traceable than $100 bills by far. Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible for that purpose. I mean, so that's a ridiculous claim. It's kind of like claiming that backwards masking of messages in your 1980s rock music was, you know, turning me your on, child man. Into a Satanist.
And some of those were such a stretch. Like one was another one Bites the Dust by Queen was supposed to be start smoking marijuana, which is supposed to be start smoking marijuana. Like, yeah, if you wanted to say that. And hang on, let me shut the door.
So, Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven was.
Had to shut the door. My wife's doing dishes. Good wife.
I love Across the Room Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, but Stairway to Heaven is supposed to say, here's to my sweet Satan, which is supposed to be, here's to my sweet Satan. No, it doesn't say that. It says, here's to my sweet Satan. We like Satan. Yeah.
It's the Swedish chef.
It's the Swedish chef. Yeah. That's racist against white people.
That is so racist.
It is, man.
I was just talking about how racist the Swedish chef was, you know.
He's very racist.
Mock Swedish.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing, okay, one of the common complaints about cryptocurrencies, and a lot of people say Bitcoin because they don't know there's 3,000 other cryptocurrencies. Well, there's about 1,600 that are listed on the on the all cryptocurrencies chart, which is, if you want to look at it, it's actually one of the most popular websites in the world. It's the most, it's the 103 most popular website in the world right now. Point. And market. It's got 1,540 cryptocurrencies on it. One is Bitcoin. Should I say I finally sold the last of my Bitcoin? No, I lost it. No, I'll crash it.
In a boating accident.
I lost it. I lost all my cryptos in a boating accident along with my guns. Yeah. I actually posted a picture the other day. You see that video I posted? Yeah, you did. It was like someone filmed it on a fishing boat with like four people on it, and the fourth one is filming with a phone. I don't know how they still have the phone, but there's a boat coming at them, and they see it from like a quarter mile away, and it's going really fast, you know, like a power boat. And they're in this little tiny boat, and they jump out. I mean, they had time to start the engine and get out of the way, but they just froze, and then they jumped out at the last minute, and bravo to them. Some people wouldn't have jumped. Probably people raised in liberal communities where they tell you if there's an active shooter to hide under your desk. You know, they're revamping what they told me as a kid about nuclear attacks. Yeah, hide under your desk. Somebody came up with a good thing I heard was that hide under your desk, you know, wouldn't help you in a nuclear attack, but it might help them identify the bodies, because we had assigned seating back then. So they'd be like, okay, little Michael Dean's corpse is this burned charred log under desk 4C. Yeah.
So to prevent nuclear war and other catastrophes, there are specific cryptocurrencies for that.
Are there?
Yeah.
No. Come on, man.
No.
You could probably sell it to idiots if you made that, although you can't do ICOs now. They're regulated.
It's called the safe room coin, you know, so you just hide in it.
Safe room coin? I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get enough of them, they'll build you a safe room. Although, really, you have to build a safe room, then you have to kill the people that build it. Same with installing safes in your house, because then people know you have a safe and have things worth stealing. No, I'm kidding. Don't kill people. So, anyway.
So, rugged individualists in Wyoming.
You're reading from Newsweek, right?
Yeah, this is
from Newsweek. Go ahead.
Yeah, seem to have a penchant for being first on matters of no small importance.
Yeah, maybe.
Also dubbed the Equality State, Wyoming is the first state to grant women the right to vote and the first state to elect a female governor. So, anyways, the business matters concerning this are creator of a concept called limited liability corporations. That was 1977.
That was invented in Wyoming. Is that saying that was invented in Wyoming?
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
Launched that way.
Well, you know, a lot of people use Wyoming for that. Like, you know, people always say, Delaware, limited liability. Like, a lot of people incorporate or make LLCs, which are not technically corporations. So the C is company, but they act like corporations. A lot
so
of
February
people.
February was seen, you know.
A lot of people from out of state, you know, not in Delaware, who've never been in Delaware, have their corporate office address as a P.O. box in Delaware. The same thing is true of Nevada. Those are both known facts, but a lot of people don't know that a lot of people do that in Wyoming. It's just not widely, you know, I don't know why, because Wyoming's people never heard of it.
For me there?
No. Nope.
No.
Nope. There's a company in Cheyenne that'll do that for you, and I don't know anything about them, and I don't recommend anything like that, but yeah, it exists.
Shady.
Not necessarily, but go on.
Oh, okay, how about you get to keep your own money and have less people know what your business is, which is, I think...
So we buried the lead for almost an hour now. So the bottom line is, there's a bill in Wyoming that will make it less heinous to start a cryptocurrency company here, and this is... And it's passed. It's basically, I think the governor has to sign it. This Newsweek article is written before it passed both houses, so I'm going to update and jump ahead here. And Newsweek, I'm like, is that still around? I mean, that was like the canon of news as a kid. Like, if you put Newsweek as a source in your term paper, you got extra points. Now it's like, well, that thing? Boy, aren't they asking
for... The thing you see in dentist offices.
Government bailout? I know. Yeah, actually, a common thing.
If it wasn't for dentist offices, Newsweek would be out of business.
A common thing in dentist office is a magazine called Remembrances, which is a currently published magazine for people who grew up, you know, who are over like 75 or 80. That's common
I've
here.
I've seen it.
Yeah, there's a lot of old people in the state.
Healthcare jobs.
There's a lot of old people in the state, because here's the thing: a lot of young people leave. And the reason they leave is because there's nothing here for them, and probably because while this is this state's first in a lot of things, I think it's going to be the last to legalize pot. I mean, pot is still a felony here when you can walk into a store and show your ID in, you know, one state south and buy a pound of marijuana and walk out of it. Yet in this state, an ounce of marijuana is a felony and they're still busting people for it. That's one reason young people leave. More than 50% of America thinks marijuana should be legalized or decriminalized. Yet these octogenarian ranchislators, and that ranchislator, that's not my term. That's a term made up by the guy who shot Katz, who was also not a rancher, but was a legislator, Gerald Gay. He made up that term, and that term is really funny. Ranchislators, that's what he called the legislature, you know, the individual legislators in the state. So basically, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a rancher, but it's kind of interesting that people who live on a ranch don't have a lot of contact with the modern world are making decisions for the rest of the world. So, you know, pot is illegal because of a moral panic in 1935. And it was basically stuff made up by William Randolph Hearst to save his monopoly on paper trees, forests he owned in Oregon and decimated for paper production, when in fact hemp grows much better paper, much cheaper, much quicker, and you can grow like four crops of it a year, whereas it takes like 50 years to grow trees to the point where you can harvest them. But, you know,
but let's not forget all the different ways that marijuana, made illegal, just profits those in power.
Oh yeah,
I mean, there are many more ways than that. Oh yeah,
lawyers,
just how
public defenders,
yeah,
judges,
everyone.
Yeah, well, police. Marijuana is legal recreationally now in California. This is kind of interesting. It's like a bunch of states where it's legal now. Actually, more states than not at least have medical marijuana. So, like, you know, a majority of the states believe it should be legal, yet it's still illegal in many states. It's still a felony for small amounts. It's still, it's still a felony federally, which is interesting because these people, the gun grabbers in these liberal states who think, you know, oh, you can't trump the Constitution. You know, when people say, like, we're not going to, Wyoming has passed laws, the ranchislators, you know, they do some good sometimes. They've passed some laws that say if the federal government, you know, makes any of our guns illegal, we're going to make them, keep them legal here, and has given like sheriffs and police here the power to arrest federal agents under a felony for enforcing federal law. That's crazy. I mean, I love it, but it's like, wow, that's bold. But the thing is, there's probably no, you know, law enforcement here. There are very few that would risk their job and lose their career to enforce that and risk getting thrown in a federal prison. But it is kind of neat that that's in the state law here. I like it. But there, a lot of liberal people see laws like that and they're like, that's crazy. You know, the federal government is the final word on everything. You can't.
Mommy and daddy.
But then they are doing the same thing. They're doing, you know, 10th Amendment things on pot. They're saying pot's legal in our state. We don't care if it's legal federally. I mean, way beyond what people do here. Like here, the idea was like, well, if they came for your privately owned guns, the federals did, you know, and searched your house illegally, you know, we'd protect you, which I don't know if they would. But the in California and many other states, like, you know, there are licensed, taxed local businesses with public storefronts in the paper that advertise. Well, they don't need to advertise much, but, you know, that are public businesses that do that. I mean, if you did that with illegal guns in Wyoming, they'd kick down your ATF would kick down your door in a week. I think some hands are getting greased, which is how they have to do it in politics. I mean, the fact that they still raid some places, not other places, but. Anyway, people got to do what they got to do because there are corrupt, evil people who think they're smarter than you. You know, an interesting thing about voting is, I didn't make this up, but it's worth saying, is people think that the average person is not smart enough to rule himself, so he needs someone smarter to rule him. But the people that rule him are elected by the common man who isn't smart enough to rule himself. And the thing is, like, the common man doesn't even, if you consider voting as wise, the common man doesn't have enough knowledge to pick the right guy. If there was a right guy, he's choosing on, like, you know, the tie the guy wears, how sincere he sounds when he's lying, and what lies he tells, like Trump saying, I'm not going to take your guns. I respect the Second Amendment. And, you know, under pressure last week, he said, well, I think it's time to start taking guns, you know, now, and we'll do due process later, which is literally the definition of violating the Constitution. And yet people still defend him. I'm not saying Hillary would have been better. I think she would have taken guns on day one or day two and made everyone a felon and gone door to door and shot people and had wars in the street. I really think so.
But I'm really saying that anyone who was put in that position of president is going to do their lines or basically be replaced. It's about that simple. And
yeah, yeah.
I think of it, you know, whether it's the Ranchislaters over there or the coconut gangsters over here.
The coconut gangsters, they call them? That's funny.
That's what. No, actually, I just coined it
term?
Right now.
That's good.
I'm calling them coconut gangsters.
Nice. The Hawaiian Ranchislaters.
Yeah, basically, this is the good old boys, the, you know.
The Sugar Gang. The Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, yeah.
The
basically,
banana.
If your
the
last
banana.
Name like, ends in Takashima or something like
Ooh,
that, you know.
Do you dare
or,
say that? I don't dare say
dare
the names
say
here.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know
yeah.
where I live.
Because I just made that name up. So,
oh, okay. You know? Yeah. You know, they say you know. They say who would build the roads? Who builds the roads? You know, government builds the roads. Nope. In Wyoming, one family builds the roads, and they are wealthy beyond compare. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, over on this island, I can tell you that the road contracting business, I'm sure, is pretty sewn up. You know?
So I'm wondering, well, yeah. So like 5 or 6 years ago, Wyoming passed a law. The Ranchislaters passed a law basically outlawing selling cryptocurrencies here. I mean, you can still right. own them. Well, actually, it's not. That's another problem with, you know, people say, well, the problem with America is that lawyers write the laws. Well, lawyers are a problem, maybe, writing laws. Anybody writing, you know, crazy laws that don't protect life or limb are absurd. But lawyers tend and think about like all the times like laws written by lawyers like had to be interpreted by a judge because people were arguing what they meant. If you think laws written by lawyers are contradictory, self-contradictory and open to interpretation, try ones written by, you know, Ranchislaters who have no law background, who went to like, you know, 2 years of college and have a, you know, or have 4 years, like have a master's degree in like mining or something. Like those people don't know how to write a contract clearly. That's very common here for the laws to be there. One thing that's good about them is they're short and they're kind of written in plain English. They're 2 or 3 pages long and you can read them, but they're still like the law they passed about cryptocurrency made it so anybody operating a cryptocurrency exchange here, whether or not they were physically in the state, had to keep an equal amount of U.S. dollars on hand for whatever amount of crypto they are trading in the state, which is absurd. Right. Like no one's going to do that. And that's a law. They tacked it on. They reinterpreted a law that was for money changers, three paragraphs, Marks, for money, for check cashing places. So check cashing places have these really heinous laws in the state that are supposed to protect people, but still end up with, you know, like loan shark level, interest that can't be paid back by poor people, but they still allow them. Not saying they should allow or not allow them, but they allow them, but they make it harder for them to operate here, but they still operate here because it's lucrative. But nobody has bothered to have a cryptocurrency exchange that you can use from Wyoming because it's so heinous. Now, New York State has similar laws, not that you have to have the amount of money on hand, but really heinous like reporting laws for running a cryptocurrency exchange. And some exchanges, not all, the bigger ones will operate in New York because there's so many people in New York that want to buy cryptocurrencies, they will bother to pay another person on staff to just be in charge of New York City, New York State compliance laws. But Wyoming, you know, there's probably 6 people here that buy, I don't know, not 6, but there's not a lot. There's not enough to make it worthwhile. But so they passed this heinous anti-cryptocurrency law like 5 or 6 years ago. Now, suddenly they're passing this like basically making cryptocurrencies exempt from that so companies can come in here and physically operate. And this Newsweek article makes it sound like, you know, what are they calling it? Crypto Valley or Crypto Mountain? Like they're trying to make a Silicon Valley for cryptocurrencies happen here by fiat. Like and there will be some, you know, there's somebody just formed a giant, like 100-acre Bitcoin mining farm in Montana. You know, and it makes sense. I mean, it's cool in these states. That's one state north. It's cool here, which makes it better for mining because it uses a lot of heat. The electricity is relatively cheap in both states, you know, much cheaper than on either coast and probably much cheaper in Hawaii. But so I'm wondering what happened. I don't know if things were greased or if I think what it is just, you know, they finally went, okay, like 5 years ago, they were like, okay, this is like internet money for drug deals. We need to stop this because we don't understand it. It's magical money. And I hear you could just print more, which you can't. That's fiat government money they're talking about. But the, I think what happened is like now that they're reading about it in the Wall Street Journal and how like, you know, for a few weeks, a couple months ago, the guy who created Ripple was the richest guy in the world. I think they're like, I want some. I really do. I think they're like, we want that. We want this to get in. You know, if this state actually does that, if the governor doesn't veto that, which he still could, I think. I don't think he could, though. It was more than a 2/3 majority. Like two guys voted against it, and one of them was Scott, Senator Charles K. Scott, who's actually from Oregon. Yeah, he's born on a Marine base in Oregon. That's interesting. So, but he ain't from around here. You know, he's one of those people. I don't know if carpetbagger's a word, but he came in from somewhere else. Yeah, but. What do you think? Why do you think they changed? You think they can get more taxes off these companies or something?
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned, I'm usually suspicious about palms being greased when it comes to laws being written, because the whole thing is a criminal operation. And to me, every single law is a really tangible way to capture a market.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean,
that's
really,
every single law is about capturing a market, and that means that you basically push out competition and you acquire
you pick winners
a
and
revenue
losers.
Stream. You seriously make a win-lose and, you know, zero-sum game kind of thing going on, you know.
It doesn't affect me at all.
Definitely a win-lose scenario. You know?
It does. I mean, it probably does in that if this does well and the government can steal money from those companies and maybe even the people doing business with them, you know, my property taxes won't go up as much. Because this state used to have, like, I mean, it's had no income, no state income tax and pretty low sales tax. But in the past couple of years, since oil prices went down, since, you know, so this is what happens when you have an economy that's based for 100 years on one product, basically, is, you know, suddenly the Saudis decide, hey, let's dump all these oil reserves we have really cheap. And then, like, Wyoming is out of business and people leave the state. Like when we went to get our cat, adopt a cat from the local shelter about a year and a half ago, like, they had so many cats, like unbelievable amounts of cats. And I'm like, last time I was here, you hardly had any. Why do you have so many? And they're like, people are leaving town, man. They're dumping cats on the street corner. They're bringing them in here. They're leaving their apartment with a cat in it. It's terrible.
Ooh, Exodus.
So, you know, yeah. So it was a buyer's market for cat. We got the best and prettiest and coolest, weirdest ones and wanted to adopt them all. But like I said, like, there's a brain drain here. How are you going to keep the kids down on the farm? You're not, because there's nothing here for kids. You know, there's like work on the ranch, go to the kind of square college, the ticket out of the ghetto here isn't being a rapper. It's being a rodeo star. That's an actual like choice here. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, that's not a choice in the inner city. You know, people
what
grow up.
What if you want to own a dealership?
A what?
A dealership.
A rodeo dealership? Yeah.
You know, cars, trucks.
Oh, yeah, you can probably do that. You know, that's another thing, too, is like one of the reasons cars are so expensive is because you can't, a lot of states have a law where you can't buy them directly from the manufacturer, you know, and this is a law that ranchislators or, you know, sugarslators or pineapplelators in your state or whatever they are in other states do to pick winners and losers. They have lobbyists who, you know, are people that own car sellers are big donators to local politicians, and they're often driving forces in local economies, and they pressure and pay and bribe and lobby the politicians of their state to pass these laws so you can't buy directly from the manufacturer. This is something that this is what, you know, people say, like, what we need is electric cars, it'll save the world. One reason that electric cars aren't cheaper, this is something that Tesla's running into, is you can't buy them directly from Tesla. You know, a lot of states he has to go through a dealership. So that adds like 10% to the price or more, 30% sometimes. And another reason, like, kids don't stay here because pot's illegal. And I hate to say it, but the kids like the pot, and it doesn't harm like alcohol, and it's better. It's not as bad for you as alcohol. I don't care what studies you have from 1960, they're wrong.
Wait a second. I think you might be actually convincing some of the ranchist leaders listening right now to change their mind.
I doubt it. They're probably like, who is this guy? Bring me his head. I think that's what they're saying. But, yeah. Well,
that's groupthink for you.
Yeah. But they do crazy things to try to keep the kids here. Like, they recently – so there's a 1 cent tax, sales tax, on top of the 5% tax in Casper. They had a 1% city tax, which is crazy – or that's the state tax. They had a city or county tax, which is crazy. It's 1 cent, and it's supposed to be voluntary. Every year they vote on it, or every 4 years they vote on it. And it's getting voted in by a narrow and narrower range. It used to be like 85%. Now it's like 52%. I bet when it goes below 50%, next vote, they're going to make it mandatory. I mean, it is mandatory anyway, but it's people get to decide on it, which is stupid because it's not voluntary because they're deciding for everyone. It's like punishing the whole class. And they use it for municipal projects. And what they revoted it this year under two things. They said, we need a better library. This town has an amazing library for a small town. I've traveled a lot, and I often, when I was traveling before internet was everywhere, and I had like the only laptop in the room, I would go to the libraries because sometimes they had internet access to check my email. So I've been to a lot of libraries in small towns all over America, all over Europe. This town has an amazing library for a small town, and yet they're like, we need it bigger and better. Libraries are basically places for homeless people to use the internet now. You don't need them.
Yeah.
Everything's online. It's a lot cheaper to do it online. And people don't read physical books much anymore. So it's absurd to think that stealing a bunch more money for a library is going to make the kids stay. The other thing they did is they made this like really square, like many, many million dollar rehearse, like party space downtown, like where they have, you know, Beach Boys cover bands and country bands and, you know, Rascal Flatts, you know, Flaskal Rats, a tribute to Rascal Flatts or whatever. I mean, they have stuff that a lot of kids wouldn't want to see and wouldn't go to. They might go because the school might make them go or something, but they have concert series in the spring and summer there. And that's not going to keep kids there, man. You know what will keep kids there? Legalize pot and cryptocurrencies across the board. Don't make a law to try to make it like more. This law doesn't really legalize them, too. This bill like basically allows companies to come in, build physical locations, which are obsolete. I mean, companies now, all you need is some Amazon Web Service, AWS, and like three guys with a laptop anywhere in the world who might not have even met each other. That's a company. But, you That's know, they're trying. I guess for mining, you need physical location. But you can rent mining hardware in India, too, and mine it to you. So they're going to.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, like, this isn't in the paper yet. Like, there's no. I found this news because I followed it and I have alerts set up. But, like, this isn't even news. You know, they're talking about, like, who won the college basketball game last night and who was arrested for meth in the paper. Those are the big headlines. But there's nothing about this, even on the back pages. So.
Yeah, just to touch on the whole, I would say, drug prohibition topic, because it's been really touched on the whole show. Just want to say, like, anyone out there, just can you put into your search engine Portugal drug laws?
And, what happened?
And look what's happened.
What happened there?
As best I can tell, you know, from being over here, because I'm kind of far away from Portugal.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like over these years, generally drug use of all kinds has gone way down, because that's what it takes. It's become normalized, and then therefore the only people who seek out greater, you know, thrills of mind alteration are those who are really unhappy. And that becomes less and less of the.
And what makes you unhappy more than anything? Getting arrested for something that's not morally wrong and having your life ruined and living in poverty and having to be on welfare because no one will hire you.
Right. And in general, of course, you know, if you don't have the prohibition there, you don't have as much crime, because then people are not moving the stuff around and making big money on it.
You're talking economics to ranchislators? Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm talking to ranchislators right now, and I'm convinced that I can get through to them.
Okay.
No,
you
I'm
can.
Really.
You probably can. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff where if we wrote this as a letter to the local paper, you know, they'd come talk to us. Like, what? Are you a terrorist? You think the government. Seriously, like, there was a guy in this town like 10 years ago that wrote a letter saying, like, basically saying we need to obey the Constitution. He was someone from the Libertarian Party, and, like, you know, or we're going to have another 1775 on our hands, which, you know, is kind of funny because 1776 is when they wrote down words on paper. 1775 is when they shot people. But somebody said that. I mean, that may be a dog whistle, but that's tame compared to, like, every third comment on Facebook now. But somebody said, like, you know, the politicians in America need to be held accountable. We need to keep them accountable to the Constitution as set forth by our founding fathers, and basically, you know, as if saying handed down by God, which a lot of these people believe, especially when they're running for office. If you really believe it, why don't you read it? You know, read the stuff about the state commerce, the Commerce Clause. It's not intended to prevent commerce. It's meant to encourage it. So there's nothing in the Constitution that says that a logical interpretation of the Constitution. There's nothing in there that says that you can make it illegal to have a plant or even a powder. I don't do this stuff, man. I've been sober since 94, and I think pot's probably one of the... I don't want to say people who take it are dumb. I'm saying, like, I never liked it back when I did it, and it made me stupid. And I don't encourage it, but alcohol makes you stupider. I've been around a lot of people on the pot. I've been around a lot of people on the alcohol. The people on the alcohol get into fist fights and car wrecks. The people on the pot eat some brownies and smile and laugh and fall asleep in the corner.
That's a nice, simple way of looking at it, but...
Are you saying it's simplifying it, or I think it's true?
I like simplifying it, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way it's going, but Ranch Slaters, you know. And I don't really know these people out there. I just think you're not getting... Okay, there's a lot of listeners, though, that are thinking the Constitution's a good thing somehow, and they're also thinking that the Constitution is legally connected to the 37 million laws on the books, federally speaking, and who knows
how
many...
No, they just ignore it. I mean, I'm not... Okay,
no, it's not. You're getting there into is it, nothing you're getting, in any of the laws, apparently.
You're getting into advanced theory here of, like, why the Constitution isn't something...
It's not even connected.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't sign it. You didn't write it. It's a slave contract because you're born into it. And Boston Tea Party probably rightfully has pointed out that there were some founding fathers, then there were some founding lawyers, like the guy on the 20, the 10? Andrew? Yeah, that guy, the Indian killer. Yeah, that evil, like, there was some, basically they put some things in the Constitution to create an ever increasing federal government, not to limit it. However, I'm talking like first grade level here. I'm talking not first grade, but like intro to true economics, not the advanced thing. I'm talking the Ranchslaters. Okay. And I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm just saying a lot of them probably haven't been exposed to some of these ideas. Some of them have. There's a couple libertarians in there, man. There's a couple people in there that bring up bills every year to legalize marijuana, you know, and they're going to do that and tax it, which I don't think taxing it's moral, but hey, I'd rather have it legal and taxed than be throwing kids in jail and throwing people in jail for something that's not illegal. And taxing it seems to be the way it gets passed. Colorado is booming, man. It is booming with tax. It's flooded with tax money. And Wyoming is like scrambling saying, how do we get taxes? So my prediction is in 5 years after everyone else has legalized and taxed marijuana, and it's probably headed towards legalized federally, I think Wyoming is going to be the last state to legalize it. And I think they're actually going to be nutty enough that some of the legislators are probably going to try to invoke states' rights to keep it illegal, which is the opposite of what they're for.
I'm gonna bet on Utah. Okay.
No, man. Being the last. Utah's way more liberal than Wyoming, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Okay.
Besides, the Mormon Bible, what's it called? The Mormon thing. Doesn't say you can't smoke pot. It says you can't drink.
I don't know what the name of the Mormon Bible is.
Book
of Mormon.
Yeah, like the play. That's why I know it. Yeah, but and we can talk about them because we're not on... Well, there are Mormons in Wyoming. And I'm not saying anything bad about a particular group over another particular group, but...
I'm not drawing Muhammad's picture right now. But
I am. Yeah. I'm scribbling it, but you only know it because I wrote his name next to it. You know, it's funny that you can't draw Muhammad, and that's not true with all Muslims, but some of them believe you can't draw Muhammad. There's actually nothing in the Quran that says that. But, you know, a lot of religions don't just go by their canon. Like, for instance, Judaism has the Torah, and then it has, like, interpretations, which are kind of considered as important to different groups of Jews as the book itself. Muslims have different Muslim clerics that interpret things, and people say that guy's got it right, that guy's got it wrong. Christians have televangelists and lawyers and ranchislators who say this is right, that's wrong. I know what's best for you. You're not going to do this on your property. But I don't know. Oh, we're just not on
this. Is this mass hysteria? Is this like a group hallucination that you're talking about?
Well, I know we're not on the radio in Utah anymore. We used to have five stations there, and the Freedom Feeds were a little bit too much for some people in Utah.
I'm gonna blame it on the Fiendly Departed.
I'm going to name it. I am too, because actually it is some of the Fiendly Departed. And, you know, those people think I was crazy to fire him, but I kept him on after we lost a couple stations after him. And then, we went from 29 stations to like 18 stations during the Fiendly Departed being here, that group of people.
I'm going to be the fiend that
the last fiend standing. You're going to stand on my grave, broadcasting the last fiend show.
I got half of my face painted in blue right now. I'm like Braveheart.
Ready for the game?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't be square. Don't think that you have to protect people. Here's the thing, too. One of the reasons they pass a lot of laws in this state and every state against drugs, like there was a moral panic against bath salts. So bath salts is a nickname for a previously legal group of different designer drugs that were related to THC, marijuana's active ingredient, that were poorly made and often dangerous on their own. And people like ended up in the hospital a lot. And also, like, I don't know, some people stabbed some people and ate their face and they were on bath salts, but they might've been on something else and crazy too. But there were, like, Wyoming was first in outlawing that. It was one of the first states to outlaw that before it was outlawed federally. We must do something. So the reason kids used bath salts is because pot's illegal. If the stuff they like that's cheap and good and safe or safer were legal, they wouldn't use the illegal alternative. Also, there'd be a lot less coke, heroin, meth, and hard drugs if pot were legal, because, and really all those drugs should be legal, but starting with pot would be a nice start, because, and people say, oh, if you're not for legalizing everything right now, I don't want to talk to you, but it's not going to happen like that. And, you know, something like a quarter of the people in prison are in there for marijuana and nothing else. So I'm in favor of that being decriminalized, and, you know, they're not going to want speed. Here's the reason speed and coke and heroin are so prevalent and so powerful and so cheap and people are dying all the time is because pot's illegal, because pot's harder to smuggle, because pot, like a ton of pot sells for the same price as, like, you know, a couple suitcases of heroin or meth or speed. So, or coke, I mean, so if people are going to risk their life and being in prison, smuggling something across a border, you know, do they want to take a suitcase of marijuana or a suitcase of meth, you know, or heroin?
But you know what transports even easier than that is cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
You know, it transports so much easier and it goes person to person just like cash, except for instead of like me passing, I would say, was it 1.3 million in a suitcase across to Michael? Because
you can have it on your phone
being on the show. Yeah. I can just phone to phone and it's done. And that is power.
You know, Obama, one of the best ads for cryptocurrency was Obama hating on it. And here's something for the legislators. They're all Republicans. So Obama hates cryptocurrency, so you probably should like them. Obama said I don't like Bitcoin because it's like having a Swiss bank in your phone. That should be the logo, the motto. Bitcoin, it's like a Swiss bank in your phone, but it's really not because it's easier to trace. Monero is like a Swiss bank in your phone, and there's a lot of clones of Monero and things that spin off that now that have privacy built in. But yeah, man, so Obama doesn't like it, so you should. So we got to wrap it up here. We got about 2 minutes left. Really quickly, let's debunk a couple of the really common things about cryptocurrency. So haters always say, it's worthless. You can print more. It's not true.
Okay, first of all, there's many kinds, and some are inflationary and some are deflationary.
Right.
And the deflationary ones, you can't print more. There's a set amount that's done. So, next question.
It's private. People could use it to fund terrorism.
Yeah, they can kind of use all kinds of things to fund terrorism.
$100 bills from the CIA in a pallet.
Pretty much.
Delivered by the pallet from military transport vehicles.
Delivers pallets of billions of dollars. That's truly funding terrorism in a real way.
Yeah.
And most people have access to tiny amounts of crypto and, you know, use tiny amounts.
All of the crypto in the world is worth like $500 billion right now, trillion with a T. I mean, that's like 2 weeks of the military budget, isn't it, of the United States?
Yeah, and that only buys so many rocket-propelled launchers, honestly.
Yeah.
So, because those are expensive. So,
yeah,
what's the next objection? Here's one. It's going to go to zero, so you're all holding an empty bag.
Yeah, that's what haters say who don't understand it.
It's going to go to
zero.
You're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
I made a bet with my brother about this.
Yeah?
And, yeah, by the time it comes to my birthday, we'll see who's right. You know,
I'm wondering too if some of the legislators have bought some cryptocurrency, because you don't have to know how to use computers now to buy it. You can call. There are like Wall Street. What do they call them things where people trade money? brokerages. Yeah, that do Bitcoin now. Like you can buy funds that have several cryptocurrencies and tend to go up more than regular ones. But not lately because everyone got in at once. But I'm wondering if some of them are hodling a bag now, maybe. I don't know. I have nothing against the legislators being involved in cryptocurrency. I think they should just get out of the way. That's how you keep the kids down on the farm, man. All right, so
I think it's the same thing as the internet. People were just thinking it's nothing more than a glorified fax machine,
and
it was going to go nowhere, and
they couldn't
even differentiate between email and internet and the difference.
Oh, I know.
You know,
yeah. And you know, who's the Democrat that was the vice president? I don't even know. Biden. That guy tried to outlaw encryption. So if you're a Republican, you should like encryption. You should like people being able to speak privately because it's in the Fourth Amendment. You know, let's speak your language. And, you know, another thing about I'll close on this. So people that believe gold should be able to be owned privately and not taxed and not regulated, those people should believe in cryptocurrencies because cryptocurrencies do everything gold does, except you can send it anywhere in the world as easy as sending an email, or a little, you know, not much harder than sending an email. I've ordered silver and then I've sold it. I don't have any now because it's old people. It's grandpa's. I call it grandpa's Bitcoin. That's what I call gold and silver. But it's hard to get around. Like, you know, you have to have it sent FedEx. If you have it sent through the mail, it gets stolen. That's a fact. Like, you know, the government won't deliver your silver. Someone in Denver will steal it in the mail hub always. You know, but I mean, the legislators have put forth a lot of bills. And I think Utah put forth a bill of like you can pay your taxes in gold. And, you know, there have been bills in Wyoming of like, you know, real money bills trying to get us to go back to paper bills backed by government gold, which might be a step up. But really, I don't know. It's not freedom. You know, freedom is you can pick any currency you want. And that's what cryptocurencies are. And it's been great doing a show
with
you, man. Been doing a great show.
Awesome.
Love it. Yeah.
Thank
Worms.
You.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Yes.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.